in the Can you hear me? Is this on?
Yes, it is.
Rooted in love. That is the theme of the women's gathering. Now you might think that is so typical of women. Talking about love again. Well, it is true that women are into love. After all, women are nurturers. They want to raise their family with love and give their children many good things filled with love. They want to strengthen their families with much love and support. So yes, women are into love. But our event, the National Equestrian Women's Gathering, is more than about love. It is actually very much about being in community. In our modern individualistic society, we don't value community enough. Even the church as a community is not really valued enough. People generally don't feel the urge to be part of the church because they don't seem to appreciate the need to be part of a faith community. Even raising their children in a faith community is often secondary to putting them into sports and other activities that all the young people have to do these days. Coming together as a community takes a lot of effort and sacrifice. I don't know if you experience it here in your church community. Everything seems so friendly and easy as I arrived here this morning. But generally, any community, to make it this good, takes a lot of effort and sacrifice. There are people who will do that for the sake of the church community. I mean, if you really think about it, church community can be very different. I mean, and who wants to come together with a bunch of people who are so different? It's not easy getting along with everyone within a community. Viewpoints can be different. Tastes and preferences can be different. The way you do things can be different. And the list can go on. You can have so many differences, from the biggest issues to the smallest menial things. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, we see the church in Ephesus going through struggles of being a community. At that time, the church in Ephesus was going through issues of diversity. The Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians were having disagreements over issues like circumcision, which is really a Jewish tradition. And also, I think the Jewish Christians thought that they knew the traditions better than the Gentile Christians did because, after all, Jesus was a Jew, right? And they were following Jesus. So you could say that they had good reasons to disagree. And they did not accept each other's different viewpoints, and there were conflicts. And yet, they were within one church, one community. So it is in that sort of a setting and context that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, offering them wisdom about how they can be one in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, which we just read this morning, is the theme passage for the women's gathering. And in this passage, we can see Paul's prayer for the Ephesians to strive to see beyond their broken community, see beyond their differences, and try to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of God's purpose. Above all, he is praying that they would overcome their differences and conflicts, being filled with and rooted in Christ's love. You might wonder, why does Paul pray this? Well, because to Paul, the church, the faith community, is so important. Next to God, the church was the most important thing. It is the foundation upon which God's purpose is carried out. God works through the faith community, and we as Christians must come together as a faith community if we are to also carry out God's purpose. We must also gather as often as possible to understand and support God's plan for us as a community. Gathering as believers is God's purpose. The prophet Isaiah had the vision to gather people from all nations, from north, south, east, and west. And he said in Isaiah chapter 43, "Bring forth the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. Let all the nations gather together, and let the peoples assemble." Isaiah also says in chapter 2, "Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.'" In Hebrews chapter 3, it says that we are encouraged to meet and gather. It says, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So, gathering is God's purpose and calling. God wants the believers to gather so that he can teach us his ways and so that we may walk in his paths. When we gather in Christ, wonderful and miraculous things can happen. Look what God did for the multitudes in the gospel reading that we had read this morning. Jesus fed 5,000. And actually, probably it's more like 10,000 if you include all the women who were also there. You just don't get recorded, you see. I have to point that out. And Jesus fed over 10,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now the people were gathered to hear Jesus. They came to be fed spiritually. They did not expect to be fed like this, though. They probably only expected that their souls might be replenished, perhaps, after hearing Jesus speak. But Jesus fed them physically. And then their spirits were more than replenished as they experienced the miracle of Jesus. Miracles happen when we are together in Christ. do it. But miracles are not the only reason as to why it is good to scatter. When we are in community, we gain strength. We are fortified from sharing with each other and supporting that we receive from each other. There is an African saying, it takes a village to raise a child. That is so true. It is better for a child to be within a parent community with many mentors and supporters taking care of them. A whole community can do so much more than any one individual. Did you know that the early Christians lived together, like in a commune? They lived as one community. And they shared everything they had, and they took care of each other, especially the widows and the weak ones. They had a beautiful community. And it certainly was a God-given gift to them. Now in our times, much as we might want to, we really cannot live together in our modern society. But we can come together as a faith community. And the good news is that this faith community goes beyond the walls of our individual churches. It stretches worldwide because we are part of the whole universal church. And that is why it is so beautiful and special whenever we come together. Realistically, we cannot be with each other physically all the time, although we are together spiritually, wherever we are in the world. Coming together is also beautiful because it is a gathering of believers. Now, you know, we do this all the time. We come together socially with our friends, with our families. But, you know, coming together as a community of Christ is different. A Christian gathering includes people from all different backgrounds, from different places, and some you may know, but many you may not know. But we come together because the Spirit of God binds us together as one community. And that is what makes it special. It is a coming together made possible by the Spirit of God. Now, at the women's gathering, over 500 women come together. And I see a lot of gentlemen in the sanctuary here this morning, and I do want to point out before I move on with this message that men are very welcome to come and join this gathering. And we do have a few men we have had. And I know it would take a little bit of courage to come among 500 women, but you are very welcome, and you will be very special. So at the women's gathering, we do have over 500 people come together. And you know, many of them don't know each other. Most of them come in small groups, maybe like 5 or 10 from a congregation. And some are actually from the other side of the world. We do have international guests from our partner churches coming and joining us. And some are from other denominations, like the United Church Women, Catholic Women's League, Presbyterian Church USA Women. These are all our ecumenical partners, and we have representation from these groups. And so we come from all different walks of life, but we are one because the Spirit of God makes us one. you know, as we come together at the gathering, God will bless us. We will be blessed because we came. We will also meet women from around the world and hear their stories. And we will walk in solidarity with each other so that women everywhere will be empowered. And this is why we come together every 3 years, so that we can learn from each other, rejoice with each other, and be in solidarity with each other. So come. Come to learn. There is just so much happening in the world around us. And as Christians, it can get confusing how we should live in this world. How do we respond to the many needs that are out there? What is the right answer to many of the justice-related issues? The issues are not always clear. And we need to learn and stand together against injustices that are happening. But it is difficult. Difficult to learn on our own. We need to learn from each other. And we need to learn from others who are perhaps experts in their field. One of our keynote speakers at the next women's gathering is Sister Mary Jo Letty. She is an expert on refugees. She's also a professor at the Toronto School of Theology, but she is a real expert on refugees, and she's written several books also on this. And it's about her experience as she started Romero House in downtown Toronto. And already by the name Romero, some of you might know that it was a house set up for refugees from Nicaragua. But I believe that she still lives there with them. That is her home to this day. And she still keeps seeing refugees in that home. And for all that she's done, she's also received the Order of Canada. So it's a very special privilege to be able to come and learn from Sister Mary Jo Letty. Come and learn about what life is like with refugees and how we can help refugees. Dr. Jean Chamberlain is a gynecologist who works 8 months of the year in Uganda to teach the people there about preventing maternal deaths in childbirth. You see, she saw so many women in Africa who died needlessly during their child delivery. And so she has committed herself to go to Uganda and teach at the medical school there. 8 months out of 12 months, and the other 12 months she's back here at McMaster University teaching at the medical school there. She is quite an expert in her field. Come and learn from Dr. Jean Chamberlain, one of our keynote speakers, about what her organization called Save the Mothers is doing. We are also having something very different and special next year. We are having an Aboriginal night where you will have the opportunity to hear Cindy Blackstock, a lawyer who speaks about the welfare of Aboriginal children. Cindy Blackstock. I don't know if you've heard of her. She has been in the news quite a lot lately. And I think more so ever since the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's work on Aboriginal people. And so she is one of our keynote speakers for Saturday night. But she is also the next E.H. John recipient. And on the same night, Saturday night, you will also be treated to a performance by Aboriginal musicians and dancers. It's going to be fun and celebrational. I want you to have the opportunity to broaden your horizons and to experience the world beyond your own. One of the problems that the church in Ephesus, in our scripture passage, had was that really the people there were kind of tunnel vision. Maybe you can even say it was navel gazing. You see, their thinking was limited to what they already knew from their traditions. And they did not see beyond that. And they needed to broaden their scope and see the broader scheme of God's plan, which included everyone, not just Jews, but Gentiles worldwide. And it will be a great opportunity for you to go out from your immediate circle of friends and church and meet people from all kinds of different backgrounds. Be prepared to take challenges. Open your eyes and see how the Spirit works in the world. If you are open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will show you wonderful things, things that you never saw before. And this is what Jeremiah said. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Secondly, come. Come to rejoice. As we come together in Christ, there will be much rejoicing. We will rejoice and celebrate that we are sisters and brothers in Christ. There will be uplifting worships and praise times to help us rejoice together. Now, some of you may know this year marks the 50th anniversary of the women's ordination in the Presbyterian Church in Canada. It is this year. And so to celebrate this, we are going to have four women preachers who will deliver sermons that will be moving and challenging. These are women from all over Canada, from our churches in Canada. We will share each other's stories and lives. We will rejoice with those who rejoice. We will weep with those who weep. At the last gathering in 2014, two Aboriginal women gave testimonials on the last day. They had come to the gathering with prayer needs. And throughout the event, they visited the spirituality center, which we have all the time, and we will have again next year. And they visited the spirituality center to pray with all of the prayer needs that they brought with them. And by the end of the event, their prayers were answered. And they wanted to share this with everyone who was there. And so in front of over 600 people, they gave moving testimonials. There were lots of tears, and everyone was rejoicing and weeping at the same time, but mostly rejoicing that God had answered their prayers. We will celebrate and rejoice for women's lives and their faith stories. The second Woman of Faith Award will be presented at the next Women's Gathering. During Through this award, I don't know if you've heard of it, I hope you have, because all congregations were sent out a mailing inviting you to send in nominations. You see, it is this award, through this award, the stories of many women of faith will be shared. So many good Presbyterian women served their church and community for so many years, some quietly, others more boldly, but their stories were often unknown to most people. And I know you have some strong women of faith in this church too. And it is through this award that we are able to hear about these women of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. So if you know anyone whose story that you think should be shared with the whole wide church, then it is not too late to submit a nomination. The deadline for nominations is November 30th, which is also the same deadline as the early registration. Lastly, I want to encourage you to come, to be in solidarity. As I travel the world, I meet all kinds of women. And I often get to hear their stories. Last year, I visited Ghana to attend the All African Presbyterian Reformed Church Women's Conference. And the conference was called Tumekutana. And that is a Swahili word, which means we have come together. At the conference, women from 22 African countries shared about their issues and their struggles. And not just in African countries, but worldwide, I learned that women are at a disadvantage for so many things in life. They fight to get education. They fight to even get the right to vote in this day and age. They battle against assaults, sexual, physical, mental. They fight against injustices of all kinds, not just within their society, but also within their own churches and even their families. They fight oppression, which is there, underlying, beneath the cultural facade, there's some forms of oppression which are more subtle and others which are more obvious. And there's so much against them. You know, women can be trodden down, but they do not give up. They stand strong with their faith. And yet, they need to be empowered to continue to stand strong in their faith. African women and women worldwide need empowerment. And together we can all be empowered by walking in solidarity with each other. There is an African saying, because you are, I am. We need each other. Our existence cannot be defined in isolation. And our existence becomes meaningful because of the solidarity that we have with each other. We need to be in solidarity with the women of the church. Not just the women, the whole church. And that is one of the visions behind the women's gathering. So that we can come together and be in solidarity with each other. God bless us giving us a means through which we can come together and experience God working among us. And I am truly blessed to be able to serve God in this way. And I am also blessed to be able to share this with you all today. May God bless you.